This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking. Is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Hey, this is Sam Darnold, and the Michael K. Show starts right now. Have a good show, boys.
Thank you, Sam. We'll talk to you a little bit later on, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Monday, beautiful day, November 23rd. Thanksgiving week 2020. Hope you're all well. Hope you all had a good weekend. Michael K., Donald Greco, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that is your responsibility. And hope everybody did have a great weekend. Peter was part of the wrestling, another Fugazi goodbye by The Undertaker, and I'm sure he'll be back.
I hope so.
Of course he will. And I saw your heartfelt goodbye to him. Please buy into the whole nonsense. I spent money and went to an event thinking it was the end. It wasn't the end. It won't be the end now.
That's an interesting take by you, because my disappointment is if that is the end, I want him to come back.
So you don't mind all these Fugazi goodbyes?
No, it's wrestling. It's everything's about being Fugazi. That's what the whole thing is.
All right, so there's a part of me that despises our picks. Despises it, because it takes the joy of Sunday away.
Yeah.
But then it also brings me joy at times. Like, I thought for sure that Peter was going to lose the Colts-Packers game, where he's hitting 2.5 points with the Green Bay Packers. And then they end up tying the score and going into overtime. I said, that's it. They're at least scoring a touchdown. They're at least scoring a field goal. They'll be fine. And Peter's going to win this game. It's going to be a good week for him. And then the Packers win the toss. They get the ball, and they're driving. They are going to probably even score a touchdown, because Indianapolis was not going to stop them. And then a catch and a fumble, and then a field goal, and it's over, and I felt such joy and happiness.
That's nice.
That Peter lost.
That's so nice of you.
So Don and Peter both had really, really rough weeks. I lost my Dolphin pick, as did Don. That was our three-pointer. I won with the Titans. I won with the Seahawks. Don with the Seahawks. He won. Lost with the Eagles. Lost with the Dolphins. Peter won with Washington. Lost with the Patriots. Lost with the Packers. And although I'm not sure, I have not been able to actually verify this, but Jarv said that this is the first time that I have been alone in the lead all year, which brings to mind a song. Yeah. Uh-huh. Pulling away at just the right time, looking at Don and Peter in my rearview mirror, ready to roll, not putting on that Philadelphia uniform. I think that's our bet now. I'm thrilled about what happened this weekend. Peter, you can't be happy. You had your Washington football team. You could have made them your three-point pick. You refused to do it. You hedged your bet. You gave them a one-point pick, and look what happened to both of you. Look.
And I did like Washington.
I know you did. I remember.
Let's be honest. Let's point the blame where it deserves to be pointed. I am no longer the bad luck charm. RJ Bell is the bad luck charm.
He lost again.
And him being on the Packers with me is what cost me the Packers game.
I mean, what is RJ Bell thinking? I mean, this is the guy. He does this for a living. And he's on the top-rated show in the country every Thursday, and he keeps picking losers. Was it 6 in a row, Don?
Yeah, he's 2 games under 500 now over the last 7 weeks.
What would Girardi say?
Not what you want.
Not what he wants.
Can I ask you guys a question real quick? Because I was driving around when it happened. The fumble in the Packers game, two things.
Yeah.
One, didn't it seem like in the final drive for the Packers, they seemed a little content to just get the field goal?
Yes, yes. Either that or they made bad calls to try to get the touchdown.
Because it really felt like you had an opportunity because they got down there so quickly to try to end that game in regulation, and they were cute, and we're like, oh, we'll win in overtime. And then was there any conversation about on the fumble it not actually being a catch?
No, there was not. Because if you're watching and listening on the radio, I could see why, maybe because it was so bang-bang. But if you were watching, he clearly had control.
Mm. He took a football step, like an actual football move?
Oh, yeah. He turned all the way around.
Okay.
That was the right call.
I do, too. Tough week.
Turnovers are the big X factor because it's nothing when you're making picks that you could ever really anticipate. Other this team turns the ball over a lot. But where do they turn it over? When does the turnover happen? It just changes everything.
Well, because
I'm with Michael. It really felt like the Packers had all of the momentum after blowing the 2-touchdown lead.
No, without the fumble, you know they're scoring.
Right, they're going to score, and they're going to cover. And then that happens, and it just changes everything. And it's even like the Raven-Tennessee game. Ravens are in control of that game.
Yep.
Titans come back. But, hey, you go into overtime. Maybe it'll take a touchdown, and the Ravens are in a lot of trouble because they just cannot move the ball late in the game. And then it just came down to that. Now it's over, right? Unless there's going to be a defensive touchdown. Once you've already given up on a possession, then you're not going to score a touchdown. You're not going to go for the touchdown if you get the ball back, right? You're just going to kick the field goal. So you need a broken play or a defensive touchdown to cover the 5.5. So that ended up being over. So, hey, Peter said it a while ago. I got off to the 9-0 start, whatever it was. We all end up being very close to each other by the time we get to the end of it.
Not this year.
Why would you say that?
Because I'm running away with it.
Oh, here we go.
See, that's where he goes.
That's why nobody
RJ reminds me of a song. I'm going to make it 2 years in a row. Oh, what a streak.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Well,
Don, what was the streak before?
Oh,
it was embarrassing.
15 years?
Yeah, he was basically the Cleveland Browns.
But I've turned it around. Just because a team used to be bad, I've redone the franchise.
But historically,
you're so unlikable. Like, it's just so...
Then he wonders why when we have these votes.
I don't know why people think that Peter and Don are the nicest. Why do people think you and Peter are the likable ones?
Oh, do I feel good today.
But just...
Terrible on Friday. Felt great today. Guys, sit back. I'll carry it today.
Oh, yeah, please, because God knows you nearly sank the entire end of the show Friday. You should do the whole show by yourself till 5 o'clock to make it up to us.
Why not? We got a big 20 and 20 giveaway today. I mean, wait till you find out what I think if you were listening Friday, you know. But I'll tease it a little bit. It's something great, especially with Thanksgiving coming up.
Mm.
And we're doing this until Wednesday. Wednesday's the last day. This is the final 3 days of the 20 and 20. And I might even throw extra prizes in because I'm in such a good mood.
You're not allowed to do that. We went over this.
No. I'm going to talk to management to throw in extra stuff.
I don't think you are.
I feel like secretariat at the Belmont right now. I really do. Everybody is way behind me.
You're such a clown.
Which brings me to another song. Yeah. Sing it, Tina. Woo! Yeah. Nobody's better. Better than anyone.
How big is the point differential between you two?
2 points.
2 points.
2 points in the same record.
Wait, it's the same record?
Yeah. I've allocated my points better.
Really, this is a snail race. Actually, this is like what sometimes they do it at NBA games. It's like a baby race, right? You put the baby down.
yeah, it's
and
true.
And the victory really is, Peter, to make sure the baby's walking, crawling, actually, in the right direction.
Right.
Why can't you guys give me any love?
Because, Michael, we're awful at it. The guy we're paying to be on is even worse.
Even Bob lost last week.
I know. Bob was apologetic.
We got to say this because, I'm not calling the fix or whatever, but Bob was so right because he defended himself. It's amazing how losing makes you defensive, right? Bob's got all this confidence, and already he's talking about he got suckered in
to the Vegas people.
To the Vegas
guys. But he did. Yeah,
I think he said.
But
everybody.
But by the way, that's...
Everybody. Love Miami. I mean, everywhere I went.
Yeah, y'all got suckered.
And not only did they lose, but Tua gets benched, not for an injury. They wanted some Fitzmagic.
I still felt like it was going to happen. Like, they got the ball. I figure, you know what, they're gonna tie this game late, and they're going to win in overtime, and they're going to cover the 2.5. And then the pick in the end zone, and then that's it. You know, so it's difficult to figure this league out.
Let's talk some Jets since we're talking winning. The Gang Green Report is brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. I will make a prediction now, and since I'm on a roll, it will come true. They're not getting the first pick because they'll run into a win, and the Jaguars are that bad, and the Jaguars will have the strength to schedule a tiebreaker, and they'll get Trevor Lawrence. You watch, because the Jets are right there, Don. They have no defense now, but their offense is showing something. They're right
there. Explain this to me. What is the strength? I would think strength of schedule would work against you. Because Jacksonville's strength of schedule has to be better than the Jets.
I think it's worse now. It was better. Now it's worse.
How can it be worse? You just lost to the Steelers? And then who did they lose to the week before? Like they're playing good teams.
They are playing decent teams. Let me find the strength of schedule thing.
But I'm saying the strength of schedule, mm-hmm. usually for a tiebreaker, right, Peter? The harder the schedule would be the tiebreaker in favor of the team with the hardest schedule. But when you're determining who's worse, then I think the strength of schedule, the weaker the schedule, has got to be the tiebreaker, giving the Jets the first overall pick, right?
I would
but
think
But everything
so.
I've read, Don, is that the Jaguars would win the tiebreaker.
I just don't understand that when you play.
Right, so the strength of schedule for the Jets is 586. The strength of schedule for Jacksonville is 553. So it's a team that it's the lower strength of schedule that gets it.
Yeah,
and Jacksonville has right now the lower strength of schedule.
Now, what hurts the Jets, and this plays against your theory, though, is of the six games they have remaining, the only team with a losing record right now is New England. And they're 4-6, and that's week 17 of the schedule.
New England didn't show yesterday.
Well, no, they showed. It's just that they weren't good enough to finish. They showed.
They lost to an awful Texans team, Don.
I don't know how awful the Texans are in comparison to Jacksonville and to the Jets and all that. But whatever. I mean, I don't think again, New England has proven they're not a playoff team. But if that's the easiest team that you have left, then the Jets are, I think, the best case scenario be 1-15. But to your point
about... But do you get the sense that they might win a game?
Here's what I'll say. Is Sam going to play again?
Because is that good or bad?
I still believe in my heart Sam's a better quarterback than Joe Flacco. So we've seen over the last 2 weeks the Jets score 7 touchdowns and have a functioning offense. Right? They're not a good team. Their defense is awful. All right. Their special teams outside the block punt has been putrid. So they are a team that now has a functioning offense because Mims now that looks like a good pick, right?
Yep.
You keep him on the field, he seems like he's a legitimate wide receiver. Perryman healthy is a legitimate wide receiver. Crowder healthy is a legitimate wide receiver. All right? They've been running the football better. Again, it's not if they had been healthy all year, maybe they're 1-9, 2-8. They're still an awful team in contention for the first overall pick, but now they have a functioning offense. So if Sam's going to play, I think there's a chance that maybe you would have won against New England if Sam played. That maybe you would have won yesterday if Sam played. Maybe Sam doesn't throw that awful pick six, after everything went your way to start the game, and then you throw it all away on one awful screen pass. So if Sam's healthy and this offense is decent, Peter, yeah, maybe they can be a little bit more competitive and run into one. But is Sam going to play? I guess we'll find out at 5:30 whether he is going to be in line to play this week. Because if he doesn't play this week, guys, it's got to be on the table he's not playing again. That would have been 3 straight weeks and a bye not getting on the field. That's a month of not playing football.
Now, according to Rich Samini, the Jets have a 66.4% chance of landing the number one pick. They have the 6th hardest remaining strength of schedule. The Jaguars have a 31.8% chance, and their remaining strength of schedule is 12th.
I still think they... I'm going to stand by what I said last week, that their best chance of winning was against the Chargers.
I'm going to tell you another thing, Don and I always butt heads about this.
Here we go. I'm going to eat my salad. I'm going to turn my mic down.
Watch, and the Jets, I think Don made the point on our pre-show meeting, Keenan Allen might be better than any wide receiver the Jets have ever had. Forget about now.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. Justin Herbert looks better in his 8th game on earth in the NFL than even in year 3 with Sam Darnold. Much better. I know he has more weapons. I get it. But he just looks like he gets the ball there. He hits it into tight spots. He gets away from the rush. He just has an idea that I have not seen from Sam yet. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm going to be dead wrong. But Herbert looks better. Burrow looked better. Tua, in his short period of time, although he got benched yesterday, certainly looked better
for the first couple of games. No, not even in the first two games. The first game, he didn't throw for 100 yards.
He was five touchdowns, no interceptions.
No, he looked good. I mean, now, I understand why you don't think as good as Sam at times. Sam at his best has looked better than
Tua.
Herbert's
22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and on a bad team.
Well,
He's got weapons.
Don can't fight you there. Sam hasn't had anything sniffing that.
No, and again, I admitted even in the pre-show meeting, maybe Justin Herbert's going to be a better quarterback than Sam Darnold. That's okay. It's not about having the best quarterback in football. It's having a quarterback that can actually win games and win you a championship, right?
That's fair.
Eli was never in the conversation as the best quarterback in football. I think they'd love to have Eli Manning as a quarterback and Sam Darnold, right? I mean, you don't have to be the best quarterback. You just have to be a good quarterback, a very good quarterback, even a great quarterback. So maybe Burrow's in the grand scheme of things will be better, and maybe Herbert will be better. But can you at least be in the conversation and win some games? Yes, absolutely. I think you can win with Sam Darnold. If he had the weapons that the Chargers have, and if he's coached up at least a little bit, I think you can see flashes. I think, Michael, you're really like a prisoner of the moment where you're judging a lot of Sam based on what we've seen so far this year.
No. I'm judging him from 3 years. And ironically, and have one of his best games was his first one after he threw the pick six against the Lions.
Right, and he had a great game against the Cowboys last year. I mean, there have been moments. He's had moments. But again, I don't think he's ever had the weapons that some of these young quarterbacks have around the league. And we know that he hasn't been coached. So
It's distressing.
But here's the deal. All right, forget all of that. Now we look at the Jets offense. And this looks like this offense can be okay. All right, not great, but it looks like there's some weapons to throw the ball to. The offensive line has not really been an issue the last couple of weeks. All right, they've kept a fairly clean pocket for the most part. So I will say this. If Sam can play coming Sunday and can play in the final six games, then I don't think you can really just complain about how god-awful the talent is. If he can go out there with a healthy Mims, with a healthy Perryman, with a healthy Crowder, there's some things there. Even Herndon held on to a touchdown pass, all right?
After dropping a wide-open ball.
Of course. I mean, listen, he's not good. I'm just saying that right now this offense is better than it's ever been all season long. So if Sam can come back and play in these six games, that's one less excuse. Again, the coaching is still horrible. All right, but I want to see better than what we've seen in the last 2 weeks, because I think he's a better quarterback than Joe Flacco is at this stage of his career. So with six games remaining and a team that scored 7 touchdowns over the last 2 weeks, go out there, play, and see if you can be even better in these final few weeks of the season. But if he can't get on the field, Michael, what does it matter?
Well, I mean, over the weekend, Gay said he thought that Darnold was going to be able to play this coming Sunday. We'll see. We'll have Sam on later, and you know, we'll ask him if he's going to play. If he doesn't, then the clock is ticking, and you have to wonder if he's thinking like Mark Sanchez on that podcast he had with the New York Post. The other day, they say he shouldn't play. He should, you know, protect himself. But if he protects himself, he's hurting the Jets, because then you're not going to get anything significant for him in a trade.
I get that, but the competitiveness of a professional athlete, right? Sam right now, sitting down with his people, not the Jet people, with his agent, with his family, wouldn't you want to play these 6 weeks to show your worth?
Yep.
Rather than not play basically the entire season and then say, well, I'll give it another try someplace else. I would think your instinct is to go out there and play all out, whether it's here or someplace else, and show the world that, you know what, I'm better than this. I'm better than what Michael Kay thinks I am or what other people think I am.
Michael Kay's rooting for him, though. Now, also, the Jets' defense, I don't know how they're going to do it the rest of the year. They have 3 rookies at cornerback. They have nothing. I don't even know how they cover people. And then I got a question for Don. You're 0-10. You're 0-10. Why is Frank Gore involved?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
How does that help?
He is, I looked it up because I was thinking the same thing you're thinking. Like, what are you doing? All right? You'd actually be doing him a favor not playing because you saw how destroyed he was after the game. Like, he doesn't want it. He's basically saying he's going to retire at the end of the year. Does he want to do it on an 0-16 team? But I looked it up, and I don't know if this has any value, if this means anything. He's 206 yards away from 16,000 yards rushing. Is that what this is about here?
Well, that's not, if it is, it's a nice thought, but it's not serving the team well.
No, of course it's not.
But he specifically talked about the record. I think it's just the embarrassment, honestly.
Yeah, but he shouldn't. I mean, Piran should be getting the ball all the time. I keep reading, well, he hasn't shown it up. Well, he hasn't shown it up. Well, make him show something. He's one of your draft picks.
Yeah,
giving the ball to Frank Gore.
Yeah, what
doesn't
does that do?
Really help Piran. It just doesn't.
15 carries for Gore yesterday. That's
15 carries that should be going to a young player. That's the gangrene report. Yeah. Brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. All right, we've got three more days in our 20 and 20 giveaway. And you know what the 20 and 20 is, right, Peter?
Yeah, it's when we give away an awesome prize every day for 20 days. I believe it wraps up Wednesday.
Yeah, but we're doing it because 2020 has been so horse manure that we're trying to make it better. Trying to make your home life a little better, trying to bring a smile to your face.
And today's terrific.
It is. I'll tell you what today is, Don, since you brought it up. We're giving away an all-star cookout combo from the good folks at Kansas City Steak, including fillets, ribeyes, strip steaks, strip nude, strip steaks, lobster tails, and more.
Wow.
That's what we're giving away. That's a big prize. Who says you have to have turkey on Thanksgiving? Who says that?
Well, and by the way, you can have turkey. You can also have some ribeye. You can also have some lobster tails.
Well, especially this year, thinking outside the box, right? Why can't you do that? Be your own person. Be your own family.
Well, Jody disappointed me this weekend.
Really?
She's ordering food because we're not going to go to my sister's house like we always do. It's a great disappointment, but we're actually following rules. And she just ordered a turkey breast.
Instead of a whole turkey?
I said, why don't you order a whole turkey? She said, well, it's going to go to waste. Yeah, but still, it's Thanksgiving.
Well, hold on. Why would it go to waste, though? You eat it over the next week in sandwiches.
No, I hate turkey on the day it's cooked, so I'll eat it.
Then she's right. You're an idiot.
I'm not an idiot. I don't love turkey.
Then why would you waste a whole thing? She's 100% right.
But Jody eats.
Yeah, but you won't eat a turkey sandwich after?
Yeah, I might. I mean, I won't enjoy it.
Yeah, all right, you know she's doing
the
right thing.
She doesn't use gravy on it, so it's dry.
What I discovered today on Ebro in the morning, you miss a morning, you miss a lot, is how upset I am that Ebro got his Popeye's fried turkey. It looks delicious.
He's ordering his Thanksgiving meal, no offense, from Popeye's.
This is
an incredibly successful man.
That's right. This fried turkey thing that they have, Don, have you ever heard of this?
No, so but it sounds delectable.
It's like a secret thing. They don't even really advertise it. You have to just go into the Popeyes and ask, and you
get it.
So it's
a secret. It's not even on the board.
No.
It's like they have it in the back room.
And Don, it's already prepared and seasoned, and just like a turkey you'd get, like I got mine from Whole Foods, you just heat it up the day of, and people are hitting me up and saying it's the greatest turkey ever made.
It's called a fried turkey.
It's a Popeye's fried turkey with Cajun seasoning.
Hey, I think that Chick-fil-A should probably try something like this, too.
I might have to get one in addition to my Whole Foods turkey. I may need it.
All right, so anyway, with the 20 and 20 giveaway, the next 2 days are our last days.
Yeah.
You know, we're giving away, right?
Cash money.
Hard cash.
Yeah, never
going to play out.
Never going to play out, as they say. Anyway, you know the deal how you win, right? You got to listen to one of the great guests that we've had over the many years that we've been on the air as the show of record. And they're celebrities. They're off the field, on the field, under the field, whatever the case. These are big, big people.
Go ahead.
And here is today's audio clue.
It's the Michael K. Show's 20 in 20.
When we see each other, if we go 5-6 months without seeing each other, you're almost like on the ball team again.
I love it. I love it. And I know who it is.
Fan.
I love it.
Yeah, me too. I'm a big fan.
I even think Peter knows who it is.
I do.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to really tick a lot of people off. bit of a stretch. How about that?
Wow.
How about that?
If you're saying what I think you're saying, yes, Sumner.
I think of all of the stars, Peter, we've had, this is by far the least star-like.
You and I are not friends anymore.
We'll go over the list.
All right.
But when we reveal, we'll go over the list.
It's okay. People are going to disagree.
But should they, Peter? Should they?
We'll get to it.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We come back. We'll take phone calls about the whole weekend with football. We've got Steve Young on today at 5. We've got Sam Darnold at 5:30. And also coming up in just a moment, a very special, long-awaited, highly anticipated announcement from the LaGreca brothers. You've been waiting a long time.
Wait, the announcement's today?
Yeah, yeah.
What time?
We'll do it when we come back.
It's been made?
I'm not going to draw this out. I'm going to do it when we get back.
All right.
It's that big. And then your phone calls. One more. RJ, as we go to break, can you play me in the break with my song? Sampling of that. Okay, LaGreca, Roseburg, and you. Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, please, everybody, the 2020 contest, this is the 18th day of it.
Oh, come on.
Don't call now. All you do is anger Andrew. Please call when we tell you to call. We still have to play the clue again.
Just take the L.
Andrew's very upset, but this is going to cheer everybody up. During the holiday season, you want good news. You want to look forward to things. You want to look forward to a vaccine.
I know where you're going with
this. You want to look forward to, you know, getting out in the world again and just returning to normal. That's what you're looking forward to. And now, on top of looking forward to all of that, the LaGreca brothers have thrown a big bouquet right at your feet. Don, why don't you tell us the announcement?
Fine. Right. Here we go. Is there a drum roll? I mean, this is big. We've been waiting for months.
Here we go. Starting December 7th.
That's Larry Bird's birthday. In infamy.
Larry to live in infamy.
Yeah.
Part 2. The LaGreca brothers are launching a LaGreca channel on YouTube.
Wow.
Oh. And the flagship show.
Flagship show?
On the YouTube channel. Will be every Monday, beginning on December 7th. It's a LaGreca show. My brother and I doing a 30-minute show on everything. Basically, what it's going to come down to is this.
Here we go.
It's everything that Ryan Hurley or Tim McCarthy will call up and say, all right, guys, move on. But we don't have to move on.
Because it's your show.
And my brother's got the show busted open, and when his manager calls and says, all right, move on, he doesn't have to move on now either. And it's going to be about music, it's going to be about movies, it's going to be about whatever. It's going to have top fives, us debating each other, yelling at each other, yelling at other people. And we have a teaser that you can find on my social media, at Don LaGreca,
that will tell
you everything that you need to know. Eddie Trunk is involved in that, and he interviews us, so his audience gets to know me, my audience gets to know him, and we get to really dive into what that show is going to be about. So check it out on my social media, at Don LaGreca or at David LaGreca. 1 is where his social media is. It's a LaGreca show, launches December 7th.
And what's the name of the show?
It's a LaGreca show. Because people will ask, what's this show about? And we try to explain it, and at the end of the day, it's a LaGreca show.
Now this is, and Michael, you want to know, you want to know how it's a LaGreca show?
How?
Don talks how much, what percentage of the time on this show? 70%.
Yeah.
It's very rare that he just described what's on Twitter right now as a trailer for the show. This clip is 22 minutes long.
Right.
Now, that's a trailer. That's like the first chapter of the show.
But what we do is Eddie interviews us to kind of get everything out there. So.
Now, listen, you're going to jump me on this, and I don't want you to, but who's Eddie Trunk?
Eddie Trunk, he has a show on Sirius XM. He is the authority on heavy metal. He knows everybody in metal. One of his best friends is Mike Piazza. He's got over 300,000 followers on Twitter. He is the man when it comes to metal.
He should, by the way,
his
also
own show on VH1.
Has a tremendous porn name as well.
Now, let me ask you a question, Peter, because Don, I don't think, will answer this, and you know these things.
All right.
How are the LaGreca brothers monetizing this?
Oh, well, YouTube's monetization is very easy. All you got to do is get views, and you have to get a lot of views to make real money, but people are making real, real money. I think the LaGreca brothers can make some cash dollars on this.
You know, David and I have worked together many times before, but it's always with him as my producer or my board op. But to be able to work with him as equals is just tremendous.
And we'll see how it goes. And it's either going to be... you know what it is? The LaGreca brothers show, it's a LaGreca show. It's sort of like the Brooklyn Nets of 2020-2021. It could be spectacular.
And it could be a train wreck.
And it could be a train wreck, or it could be both.
Well, even the train wreck is still great. Because who doesn't want to watch that?
Michael, I have an exciting announcement, too. It's actually where I thought you were going about exciting things for people to look forward to.
No, what?
This is very big news. A lot of people thought that this show wasn't going to be on Friday. There are people who thought that. But guess what? Not only is this show going to be on Friday.
Right.
It's going to be a Peter Rosenberg vehicle.
How about that?
Friday.
See, that angers me a little bit, Don.
Go ahead.
We all got together and said, do you guys want to work on Friday? Don said no. I said no. You said no. And then you go back door to do the show yourself.
Well, that's not actually what happened. If you remember the call carefully, I was like, I'm down to do whatever these guys want to do.
All right. So we both said no. And then you said, well, I'll take it.
And I said,
I had a chance to say no again. And I did.
You don't
think it was by design that Peter was going to be by himself, do you?
Yeah, thank you. It's a very good point by Don. Now, I'll tell you this, and you may respect it. Well, let me just say what's going to happen. Don will respect it, and Michael won't care.
Right.
The real behind the scenes is, after I knew you guys didn't want to, and I'm going to be around anyway, I said to Ryan Hurley, I said, I will work Friday, but as much as I love all the people I've been paired up with, and I love working with Alan, love working with Chris, love working with Bob Wischusen, I said, if I'm going to work on a holiday, I want it to be something special and unique. I want it to be a Rosenberg vehicle. I just want me and my guys, Andrew Gundling and RJ, and us to do a show. And if we can do that, I'll work Friday.
I love
this. And that's what we're getting.
I love it. I'm around this Friday. Like, Don and I are going to the Galapagos Islands. I mean, we're around, too.
We're around.
You guys, in all fairness, you guys have kids. This is a different time for you guys. I'll be chilling in
that. You are such a little snake. Everybody's told me it, and it's the first instance I've seen. I don't like it.
Don, how do you think?
You know what? I'm working with you Friday now. How about that?
No, you're out.
This is why I put my foot down and said no. Because I knew, Peter, that if I said yes and worked with you, then Michael would have jumped on board, and then the three of us would be working. Yeah, and be like, why am I working?
His fat hands have to be all over it.
I did you the favor, Michael. And you know what? I look at it this way. I worked alone last year. So it's now Peter's turn. Because last year, I followed a Ranger game, and then I did the show, and you guys were off.
Donald.
So now Peter can do it.
Set fire to this whole thing. Don't you realize everything we created could crater on Friday?
No. See, I disagree, because I trust and love Peter. Somebody was going to fill in. And no offense to anybody, because we got exceptionally talented people. But if I had to choose from all of them to do the Michael K. Show without us, it would be Peter. You know why? Because he's on the Michael K. Show.
That's why I love
Andrew, if you could please do this for me, okay? I need your help.
Yeah.
The theme song, branding of the show is not the Michael K. Show on Friday. It's not. It's a show.
Wow.
It's
so wait,
just
real
a
quick.
Show.
So real quick, they could have had Carlin and Anita Marks.
That's
and they would have played the Michael K. Show.
They would play
theme.
True to the Michael K. Show.
See, that's so insulting on the highest of all levels. It's basically told them to drop dead. That's what you did. You don't even realize it.
And it's gonna
I
be
realize what I did.
And by the way, it's going to be 3/5 of the show. It's going to be me, Andrew, and RJ. And yet, Michael would rather burn the whole thing because that's how little he thinks of me. And guess what? It's going to be a football Friday, the day after a big day of football on Thursday. And you got the Tyson fight Saturday night. It's made up for a perfect Rosenberg show.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Thank you, Mom.
You have the golf on Friday.
What golf's Friday?
Yeah, so maybe
Steph Curry and Charles Barkley and Phil Mickelson. And
do us a favor.
Okay, I'll lay off that for Don.
And also, it's an insult to Andrew. You don't think Andrew can control Peter?
No, I don't. I can't control Peter.
I try every day.
He's not the Tasmanian devil. He's controllable.
And there's going to be a lot of Andrew on the show, too. It's going to be a fantastic day there.
I think I'm doing the show.
Oh, God.
You're working right.
I really hope
playing not. Right in the management's hand. This
you
is
know,
the whole
I might
idea.
Even, I might even do the show on Thanksgiving. How about
this
that?
This is the whole idea behind management did this. And you know
well,
what?
I'm smart. That's why they're management. We're not that bright.
You want to join Peter Graham? I'm out.
Good. Good.
How
give me more time to talk.
Does somebody get the chance to just luxuriate, as you would put, into a four-day weekend?
Well, you know
That's what?
What
I'm doing.
You know what? If Michael wants to be in, then maybe I'll take off. And Michael can just have the show.
Well, then, Peter,
and then you got
I
what
think
you
that
wanted.
Would really be playing.
You got what, exactly. Then they really got what they wanted.
Okay. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by the Pepe Auto Group. Let the Pepe Auto Group make your dreams of owning a luxury vehicle a reality. Visit PepeAutoGroup.com and start your purchase online. Remember, 20 and 20 continues today. This is today's prize, an all-star cookout combo from Kansas City Steak, including fillets, ribeyes, strip steaks, lobster tails, and more. It's a great, great, great gift. The next 2 days, we're giving away hard money, cash money. That's what we're giving away the next 2 days, the last 2 days of the 20 and 20. But today it's meat and lobster. Here's the audio clue one more time.
It's the Michael K. Show's 20 in 20.
When we see each other, and if we go 5-6 months without seeing each other, you're almost like on the ball team again.
There you go.
All right.
Don't call yet. I'll tell you when you can call.
We've had 18 of these, right?
Mm-hmm. This is the 18th.
He's 18. Somebody's got to be.
You're so wrong.
Somebody's got to be.
When we go over this, I'll be looking forward to looking at the list and seeing if Don's right.
And I love him. And I love him. But somebody's got to be 18.
All right, let's towel off because it's an outrageous statement. We'll take your phone calls. We'll give this away in the next segment. I'll be calling management saying I'm working on Friday. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
We've had our fun and games. Let's get right to the calls. Let's go to Robert in North Salem. Robert.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Robert.
Michael, you've hung on the rim in past years. This has to be the worst I've ever seen you. You shattered it, and you're only 2 points up.
Robert, listen to this. Listen, Robert, when you bring that up, it reminds me of a song. That's right.
Unbelievable. No, but listen, I had a serious question, man. Seriously, and it's worrisome. It's concerning me. This whole Adam Gase thing, do you think, I want a real percentage. What percentage do you think he comes back next year? But hold on. But if, let's say, they play the rest of the games and lose every game, but let's say it looks good. Like, the way they look on offense this week, all right, not too bad. Let's say they look a little competitive. And he goes to Douglas and Woody Johnson. He's like, oh, look, you know, guys, give me one more year. I'm going to have Mims back. We got money. We got draft picks. I'm going to have Trevor Lawrence. You think they really consider bringing him back?
Yes.
So that's really worrying me right now.
Don and I have said this for a long time. I don't think the percentage is high. But, Don, I think there's a scenario where he comes back.
I think there's a 10% chance. Because
yeah, I was going to say 10 to 15%.
Because the wild card is Chris Johnson. And the caller nailed it. They go 0-16, but they look much better down the stretch. The offense starts to click, and it's the defense that costs them games. But Sam Darnold looks great. They're finally healthy. He can go back to Chris Johnson and say, listen, I couldn't do the best I can because everybody was hurt, but you saw the offense function. They didn't give up on me. They still went and played hard. You can convince Chris Johnson, and you can't tell me no because they hired him in the first place. So you really just have to convince one person. And we know the influence he has in that room. He has made so many decisions since he's been here. The firing of the general manager, the firing of the president.
He's going to have to convince Woody now, too. Woody's coming back.
All right. But that's two people. But still, Woody's going to kind of come in blind. Because, I don't want to get overly political, Michael, but Woody's still going about his job until we get to January 20th.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. Yes. Yeah. So, I take it back. That's true.
Yeah. And then who knows where we're at as far as everything that's going on, the courts and all that. So I don't know, you know, how smooth the transition is going to be even beyond, you know, January.
It's been very smooth so far.
Yeah. Right. Beautiful.
Well, if in smooth, you mean not at all. But so these are the things you have to wonder about. And in what is Woody just going to come back and say, well, listen, it's Chris's team and he's going to make the decision. I think ultimately the fan base completely flipping out would be the undoing for Gase. But the fact is that this has been the number one son. He's got the ear of the owner, who just a few weeks ago called him a genius. And if they start to function and they start to play better down the stretch, that's why I have it at 10%.
Ira, Staten Island. Talk to us, Ira.
Hey, Michael. How are you? By the way, sadly, you've been saying for weeks about Joe Burrow. What a shame.
Yep.
You called it. You've said it all football season. It's amazing. But, you know, getting with the Jets, and you were talking about Donald and the offense, and, you know, it's amazing. It's too bad that they didn't come out aggressive in this game yesterday. They might have actually had a chance to win one.
Yeah, let me ask you, why didn't they throw a deep ball till the second half? I don't get it.
It makes no sense at all. No sense at all, especially since they had success against the Patriots.
Yep.
So that's on the coaching staff.
And that's Flacco's strength, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah, big arm,
but, yeah. You brought up the point about Sam coming back. And you know what? I was going, if he's not 100%, you can't bring him back. But you know what? You see these street players. I get it. He's a competitor. He wants to play. If he gets a clean bill of health from the doctors and they say he can't damage it any further, yeah, I would like to see what he could do with Mims and Crowder and Perriman, and if Hurdon could actually hold on to a ball like he did yesterday. I would like to see that. But guess what? There's going to be probably a half a dozen general managers around the league that also would like to see that. And that's why I think probably I'm going to change my mind here. I think Douglas and Sam, I think they got to give him the okay to play if he's healthy, because you got to get his value up. I think that's the way to go. And as for Gase coming back, you know what? I never like to call for anybody's job. There's no chance that this organization is going to have them go to the bottom of the barrel of fertility in franchise history if they go 0-16 and bring this coach back. Because the fans, it'll be a mutiny amongst the New York Jets fans. There's no chance they bring him back. And how would you take Trevor Lawrence and give him to Adam Gase to develop? How could you do that?
Well, they thought Adam Gase was brilliant enough to hire him in the first place to give Sam Darnold to him. So, again, I don't think it's likely, but I don't think it's a zero.
I'd put it lower than even 10, though. An 0-16, but it would be so unprecedented.
But, Peter, think about it. None of us are willing to commit it to zero.
Well, that's because we've seen crazy so far. It's been so crazy.
Because when you think about it, let's be honest, okay? We don't have to go that far back in time, all right? I don't think we were adamantly against it, but I think everybody raised an eyebrow when they hired him in the first place. Wait, you took a guy that failed in your own division, was awful the last 2 years in Miami, all right, had never really done anything of note other than what the 1 year in Denver with maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. We all wondered, really? This didn't make a lot of sense to us, but we were kind of open to it because maybe they knew something that we didn't. It turned out no. So when you can go that much off the reservation when you make the hire, and then not only do you make the hire, Peter, you give them like full control of the team, like full autonomy on who gets hired, who gets to stay, complete purging of the old regime. So why is it that out of the realm of possibility that they'll decide?
It's just 0-16 is such a rare and glaring thing. It stands out above anything, any other failure he's had so far. 0-16 is something that's it's historic. This doesn't happen often.
No, this would only be the third time.
So to me, that's why. But can we also take a moment to appreciate the Joe Flacco pick six? Have you ever seen a worse pick six?
It was like the first pass that Sam ever threw.
There is so few times in sports, Peter, where you could look and say, I could do that.
Oh, the score? No. Oh, my God. Yeah,
the throw, the interception. The interception just took you holding on to the ball. But I could do what Flacco did.
Right? Oh, that's beautiful.
I mean, I don't know what he saw. Well, I can tell you what he didn't see. That was the defensive back, but God, that was rough.
It's time for 98.7's 20 and 20 contest.
So if
you've been listening to today's show, you've heard a clip from one of the many stars who have joined the Michael K Show over the years. I'm going to line up callers, and you'll have one try to guess the K-Show celebrity for your chance to win big. So if you think you know who we featured in today's clip, we played it twice, call us at 1-800-919-ESPN for your chance to win today's 20 and 20 prize. An all-star cookout combo from Kansas City Steak, including fillets, ribeyes, strip steaks, lobster tails, and more. It's 98.7 ESPN's 20 and 20 contest. It's brought to you by P.C. Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, and the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand. Remember, the next 2 days will be money, 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 money. Mm. But today, meat and lobster. So call in, because Don does not think this is a quote-unquote celebrity. I think he's hurtful.
Again,
he says
did
stuff
I say
like
that, Peter?
No.
They're all celebrities, and it just shows you the level of celebrity that we've had on this show. Somebody's got to be 18, and I take it back. I went over the list, 17.
Okay. I can't wait until the 4 o'clock hour when we could go over this and disparage our VIP guest.
Again,
guests.
Peter, somebody's got to be last. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you're not great. It just shows you the depths that we go with the greatness of the guests on the show.
Although with a couple of days left, we're leaving. There are going to be big stars who are definitely bigger than some of the ones we've done who are not going to make the list. It's just how it is.
All right, let's see if we have a winner. Douglas in Yonkers. Doug, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
All right.
All right, tell me who the VIP guest is.
Andy Pettit?
Well, that was fast.
You got it, buddy. That
all
was
right.
A nice, easy one. You heard it, you knew right away, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so you like KC Steak and Lobster? Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right, it's going to come your way.
You're going to love it.
You enjoy it. You're going to love it. It's a great package of meats and lobster. So we thank you for listening. We're going to put you on hold, and we'll get all your information. We're thrilled that you get this great prize on Thanksgiving week. And as I said, the final 2 days of our 20 and 20, it's going to be laced with cash.
Okay.
Laced. So Don is going to insult Andy Pettit when we get back.
That's not what he's doing. We're going to break down how great our list has been.
Why do you got to be always the negative?
Oh, by the way, Don, just to tell you, so Peter's hosting on Friday.
Sure.
And Yes is choosing not to broadcast the show.
Oh, well, that's their loss.
They're going to do ACC basketball with Florida State, North Carolina, NC State, and throw in some Gardner Webb, too.
Wait, is that really true?
Yeah.
But there's not even college basketball going on.
Oh, it starts.
Oh, so then that's something they have on their schedule. That wasn't them choosing.
So no,
again,
they're choosing.
It spins negative.
No.
It's not true, because they have told me in the last couple of years that anytime I am on the show, they will broadcast the show.
Yeah, because
he's lying.
How about you make me a $100,000 bet, okay? How about making me a $100,000 bet that if I choose to do a show on Friday, they're broadcasting it?
No, I take that bet. I'll take that bet, because you know what? The three of us were on early in the pandemic, and they literally had backyard tennis on instead of us.
That is true. When they have a sports contract, they go with their show.
Because nobody honors a contract like Yes.
That's a good thing.
If you now, if you told me they were showing Center Stage on Friday, I'd be insulted.
So is Michael backing out, or is he going to write me a check for $100,000?
I didn't make the bet yet. I was asking Peter to make the bet, not you, Mouth.
Wow.
Mr. YouTube channel. Why don't you back off? You know who you're talking to, right? Reminds me of a song, RJ. When we come back, Don's going to disparage the great Andy Pettit. Going to anger a lot of Yankee fans as well. We'll go around the NFL. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. Not a good weekend for the Knicks either. Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This
is the Michael K. Show.
Now it comes down to this. Fourth down and 9 at the Chargers 32-yard line.
Second half, we kept fighting, got in the end zone, made it a close game.
Flacco with a back to either side and a shotgun on 4th and 9.
We got to have faith that we have the guys that get it done, and one of these days we'll look up at the scoreboard and we'll have a victory at the end of 4 quarters.
Here comes the Charger rush. Flacco lobs one down the right sideline at the goal line looking for Mims, and it's broken up by Tavon Campbell at the goal line.
We couldn't make enough plays to try to tie it up.
Well, it was a game effort for the Jets in the second half, but they lose again, and they are now 0-10 in this 2020 season. The final score, the Chargers 34 and the Jets 28.
This is the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Now, who do you think has had the worst percentage of calling wins and losses? Bob Wischusen or Ed Cohen of the Knicks?
No, I would think it's Ed Cohen of the Knicks.
Really?
Sure.
I don't know.
This would have been his, what, 4th year?
Right.
So he has not had a winning season.
Right. But Bob's going to have an 0-16 thrown in there.
Even with the 0-16, there have been, you know, this is 19 years he's been doing the play-by-play. He's had quite a few above 500.
That's true. I forgot.
And this would be by far. I'm just thinking in all the 16 years that I did it, Michael. Maybe the worst they were was 4-12. Right.
Oh, Bob. Such a beautiful voice and skills and.
Well, it's all going to change this year.
How so?
For what I'm about to say. Is that really the person you should throw into the conversation, because Ed's still very new, is Ian Eagle with the Nets. Because Ian is so good.
But Ian's had 2 runs to the finals.
True. How long has he been doing it? Because who did it before?
Well, when we started it, yes, Marv was there.
Right.
So let's say Marv might have done 6 years with yes. And Ian was backing him up, because Ian was even before Marv. Before the Nets were on Yes, which was 19 years ago, Ian was doing it. And then Marv kind of took away half of it, and Ian still did half.
So remember when Ian's
been there?
Papa did
Ian's
Nets?
Been there like 25 years almost.
Yeah, and it's and listen, you're right. There's the back-to-back final appearances, and they've made the playoffs. But, you know, the Jets went to back-to-back conference championships. They went to the playoffs under Herm. They went to the playoffs under Mangini. You know, so they've had their month. Even the last time they were above 500, they were 10-6 with Bowles' first year. Missed
Remember
the playoffs.
Remember Joey so presciently said, he's not a genie, he's a man?
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
That was still great. Well, I'm gonna figure this out. We'll throw Ed Cohen in and we'll see. But Bob's had his moments. But when you talk about just, because Ed's tremendous. But when you talk about like the national angle, I mean, Ian and Bob are tremendous.
They are.
And they deserve better. But I think Ian will get his moment, you know, coming up here.
But you do realize one thing. RJ, get your finger on the button, please. Of all the local announcers, the guy with the best winning percentage is, hit it.
Really?
Curly.
You're taking credit.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm just saying. I'm not taking credit for the wins. But since 92, the Yankees have the best winning percentage of any New York team. It's not even close. Yes. 5 championships during that time.
But Sterling would break the tie with
No, he wouldn't. I'm going to tell you why. I knew you were going to say that, because he was doing it 3 years before me when they were terrible. He had the Stump Merrill years. So don't come at me with that weak stuff.
I was going to say, Peter, what breaks the tie is that John never misses any games. But Michael misses 25 games without missing a beat.
No. Misses would constitute missing.
All right.
That's not on the schedule. I missed a month last year because of surgery. Sorry to bother you.
Quote unquote surgery.
All right, you know what I'm going to do during the course of the show, and we'll have it by ENN. The winning percentages of all the current announcers of the 9 teams.
You know that I have the best one.
It would have to at least be K/Sterling, or actually Sterling/K.
No. We're just looking at the years they announced, and John's 3 years, first 3 years were terrible.
All right, so chicken liver.
So I will remove Sterling, which I think is way more insulting than what I'm saying about Andy Pettit.
All right, let's break this down. Can we break this down?
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. So Don wants to lay into a five-time world champion and say he's not worthy of our VIP giveaway.
Did I say that, Peter?
Well, that's what I'm hearing.
Did I say that at all? Yeah, because you're Yankee boy. And I don't want to go there, but you're irritating me. Between that and the song.
Oh, my Lord. RJ's such a sick fan. Because Michael didn't hit that.
Peter, I'm going to listen to you because you're the only one with any reason.
Go ahead.
All right? I was just complimenting how great the list was. The whole idea of the contest is how great our guests are and how legendary our guests are. So at the end of the day, somebody has got to be 19 or 20. We've done 18 of them. I believe this individual is 17. I think Andy Pettit is 17. The only person that I feel comfortable saying would be lower than Andy Pettit would be Odell.
Odell who?
Beckham.
Do you mean in terms of legendary or fame?
Legendary status.
Okay.
Because do you have the other people?
I have the full list if you want.
All right, read them off, and let's say Andy Pettit or that guy.
All right, so you went, Michael, I'll let you decide when you say that somebody's below Andy.
Okay, well, Don, we know how Don feels, so let Michael and I weigh in on
it. Go ahead.
All right, just going in order. Hal Steinbrenner.
Bigger.
You just made the list! Pettit's ahead of Hal Steinbrenner.
Yes.
Okay, Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick's only got one Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he's the biggest star in the league now.
I get it, but just one Super Bowl, only 3 years in the league.
I'm doing a combo of fame and legendary, but go ahead.
All right. Bill Parcells?
Bigger.
Okay. Patrick,
Who's bigger?
Parcells bigger.
Okay.
Patrick Ewing?
Bigger.
Derek Jeter?
Bigger.
Tom Coughlin?
Bigger.
Odell, which we touched on.
Not bigger.
By the way, though, that is, for a younger audience, Odell is a much bigger guest than Pettit. But keep going.
All right. Aaron Judge.
Pettit's bigger.
What?
Pettit's 99, baby. Pettit's number's retired.
I understand, but in terms of the...
Don.
We live in the now, though, man.
Living in the now.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, why even play?
Judge is the biggest star in baseball right now.
Oh, my goodness. I've never been so sick to my stomach, and I'm an Aaron Judge guy. What's up, All Rise?
All right. Daryl Strawberry?
Andy's bigger.
No, Straw's bigger.
Andy's bigger.
Andy's better. Straw's bigger.
Andy's bigger.
No, Straw's
bigger. Nobody's. Strawberry's huge.
Strawberry's
huge. Two fan bases you're bringing in.
It's Strawberry's bigger. Go ahead.
All right. Walt Frazier.
He's bigger.
Peter, you're not sure?
I guess Frazier's bigger, but it's close. They're close.
All right. A-Rod?
He's bigger, though he's not bigger. More loved. That's for sure.
Eli Manning?
Yeah, that's...
Bigger.
That's bigger.
Henrik Lundqvist?
Pettit's bigger.
Pettit's bigger.
Okay. Pettit's bigger than Hank.
Joe Torre?
Torre's bigger.
Torre's bigger, yeah.
Mike Piazza?
Well, Piazza's in the Hall of Fame. He has to be bigger.
Slightly.
Larry David?
Bigger.
No one's bigger than Larry.
Joe Namath?
No one's bigger than Joe.
And that's it. Pettit was today.
See? So he wasn't at the bottom, Don.
He's 15, 16.
Well, I still would... I mean, because we're going by different things. Hank's going to go to the Hall of Fame. So if Piazza wins the face-off because of the Hall of Fame, Hank's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
But, like, Pettit's a major part of multiple championships. You know, Hank's a great player in
five.
Hank's a great player in the fourth biggest sport and didn't win a championship.
Right.
So I'd put Pettit ahead of Hank.
It was hyperbole at best, Don.
No, it wasn't. It was actually pretty accurate because we can fight. I said 17, and you guys have him at like 14 or 15. So
right. So he deserves to be on that list. And Andrew brought up a good point too. There've been bigger guests that there's no way that anybody would have guessed them. Like,
what do you
could have played Barry Sanders, and nobody would have ever gotten it. We would have been taking phone calls for 5 hours.
Well, I don't want to ruin it anymore. We also have other ones left that we've done on this show whose voices are so recognizable that it might not be fun.
Ed Hospodar.
Well, that again, I'm not going to go Hospodar.
We never had Ed Hospodar on.
Why?
Never been a guest.
Well, I tell you what, I don't like to stir it up. You guys know that, right?
Uh-huh.
At least give me that. So Peter is hosting on Friday alone.
Right.
Big show.
Don, you're going to be shocked at this. This is a message that I got from Chris Carlin. Here's what I'm hearing right now, he writes. Bleep Carlin, bleep Han, bleep Bob. This bleep is about me. This is him showing Tim McCarthy I don't need Mike and Don when they're ready to pack it in.
That is, it's hurtful. I love Chris Carlin. He'd be at the top of the heap of people I'd want to work with. But I wanted to do something different with just my guys, Andrew and RJ. That's it's not about...
It's intoxicating.
Who knew, Don, that we were working with Mariah Carey? Who knew?
No, but it's a great day to do a show. First of all, the day before, Redskins-Cowboys. How big is that game?
It's monstrous. How Cowboys monstrous got a shocking win yesterday.
And also ties into New York. Right? That ties into the Giants, because the Giant fans are going to be rooting hard for Washington to win because the Giants have the tiebreaker over the football team.
Yeah.
All right? You've got the Tyson fight. Who better to have on than Peter for that?
Working if he on, gets on Tyson's a different story.
I'm working on a massive guest related to the fight.
It better be Tyson.
Or Jones. If he gets Jones Jr. on.
There are other people who you could get that are major names who would be better guests to actually talk than both of those guys.
RJ, could you do me a favor, too, as we're talking, we'll produce here on the run. Joe Judge is speaking about the firing of Colombo for the first Ooh. Time, so we can get that. I think it's on Giants.com.
No, we got to turn that around.
And I'd like to turn that around and get that, if that's possible, RJ. You know I don't like to throw it around like that. I thought the Knicks had a bad weekend. How about that?
Not their fault.
Well, whose fault is it?
Well, Van Vliet went
Nobody
to Toronto.
Takes their money?
He kept his... He stayed.
But they never even made him an offer because they heard that he wanted to stay with Toronto. Okay, that's number one. Number
not
two.
Fault.
You make him stay. That's the problem with the Knicks. That's why I keep saying they've got to get a winning culture.
Not when a guy stays where he was.
Okay. Gordon Hayward didn't stay. He didn't even go back home to Indiana. Then I could have understood. He went to Charlotte.
Right, but you debated whether that money makes sense. That's been debatable.
Well, I can't believe that his agent got him $30 million a year, so he was actually smart to opt out.
Okay.
But you've got to make people want to come here, and again, we're hearing the same thing. So everybody that they've signed in a scramble to fill out the roster, all one-year deals. So you know why, Don?
Yeah, I know.
You could keep open a spot for Giannis. I hope Giannis signs his max extension in the next 5 days, and it blows up in everybody's face.
But you can't kill him for Westbrook, not if the price is getting too high.
Well, I'm not going to kill them at all, Don, because they could still get Westbrook. And for those that don't think they should get Westbrook, they don't get it. You cannot continue to put a poor product out on the court and expect big-name free agents to take your money. You can't continue to do that. And the reason why I say it was a bad weekend, Don, what you did is you drafted as if you were a team that's ready to make a run at the playoffs now. You left a very competent point guard out there to take Obi Toppin because Obi Toppin is more of a finished product. Then you traded away a second-round draft pick, a 35th pick, which is a good pick. It's close to a first because you wanted to leave spots open on your roster. The roster they have now is terrible. The only thing better about this team is Tom Thibodeau. And hopefully that will account to some wins. But you tell me where they got better. What's their point guard situation?
You're 100% right that it was a bad weekend. I'm just saying I can't blame them. Those were the circumstances. And they could still get Westbrook, which I think is going to be even more important now than before. Because, you know, they were talking about this on DCR earlier today, and I couldn't agree with Rothenberg more, is that you're going to probably, you might be in the teens win-wise. Remember, it's only a 72-game schedule. And there's not going to be anybody to deflect it. It's all going to be about the kids being awful. And that's not fair. At least if you had a star on the team, you'd win more games, and at least he'd be able to handle a lot of the pressure. But now it's going to be, we're awful, and you're going to be killing the kids.
Well, I know what you're saying. You can't force people to take your money. But this was supposed to be different. This was supposed to be the CAA guys that were going to get their guys to come here.
But, first of all, it's one guy, and he stayed.
It's two guys.
Well, the other one was, I don't know, did they not win the did he rather go to Charlotte than New York, or did the Knicks not want to give him $30 million?
First of all, you strike earlier then.
But is
they
the
thought,
point?
Believe me, they had all that cap space. They thought they were going to get Gordon Hayward. That's who they wanted. So you got outmaneuvered by Michael Jordan, who's never going to be mistaken.
But
for George Young,
is it outmaneuvered or just it priced himself out of it?
But the thing that bothers me is you didn't go there because you're keeping cap space open for what? Carmelo Anthony turned them down over the weekend.
I know. That was a little bit of a surprise.
I mean, are you kidding me? Carmelo said, let me think. Oh, I'd rather play in Portland. And then they kind of fashioned, well, he owes it to them because they gave him the chance to resurrect his career. Please save it. He said, Portland has a chance to get in the playoffs. The Knicks don't. No. It was not a good weekend for the Knicks. Who's their point guard? They re-signed Elfrid Payton.
But I think you'd have more of an argument with Van Vliet.
Austin Rivers.
If he left Toronto and went someplace else.
But here's what I'm saying. This offseason is just like last offseason.
But feels similar.
$35 million, wow. And all they did was sign placeholders for that money for a year. That's what they did. They have not moved forward.
I know.
And they've collected second-round draft picks.
And it stinks. And that's why I agree with you. It was a tough weekend. But I think there's a difference between that and then saying nobody wants to play for the Knicks. Clearly, the Knicks are not an option to win now. Forget about Westbrook. That has nothing to do with wins or losses. It's just, do you want to trade that much to get him? Because it sounds like it might be a little bit too much for their liking, which I can understand. But as far as winning over free agents, you know, they know they're not going to win here. Well, what was the best case scenario for any of those players coming here? Is maybe you sneak into the 8 seed and get swept in the first round, which I think is important from a Knicks fan's perspective because you haven't been to the playoffs since 2013. But I think that's the ugliness of it. Not that I don't want to play for the Knicks because of Dolan, or I don't want to play for the Knicks because I don't think they're run well. It's just that right now, if I'm going to sign a contract, I'd rather, you know, stay in Toronto where I get a chance to compete for a championship, or go to Charlotte, which I think maybe has a better chance to win now than the Knicks do. That's all it is, and you can understand that.
But there has to be a second level of players if you don't get Van Vliet and you don't get Hayward. You got nothing. You got placeholders of money. That's what you got.
But the hope
Austin
is...
Austin Rivers?
But here, I can't defend any of those players.
Elfrid Payton?
But the idea is it's another year where maybe you get more out of those players than anybody else because you're well-coached. If you've got the right coach in Thibodeau, maybe they play harder, maybe they win more games than we think, and then you have another great draft because they actually had a very good draft, I thought, this year, and then you start to show the NBA, hey, at least we're run well. We can't change the history, but we're run better than we were before. And we've got a good coach who's getting more out of his players than any other coach in recent memories had with the Knicks. We've had a couple of good drafts, and then you could attack free agency. That's what you got to do.
But to Michael's point, it is you saying that a 1 week removed from the draft, it's basically, yep, another year. Just another year
out of the playoffs.
They're not going to play for anything.
That does stink, and that's why I agree, Peter. This was a rough weekend. But I'm just a little tired of the whole, well, nobody wants to play for the Knicks. Well, I think it's just nobody wants to play for a loser right now, and they have a chance now because I think they're well-run now. And I think they've got a really good coach that's going to make teams better, that people are going to want to play for. And maybe this time next year, well, hopefully it'll be earlier because the season will start earlier, we will have a team that'll be a little bit more attractive than they are right now.
You want to salvage this offseason? Get Westbrook. Don't give up the farm for him. Get him. There's no other team out there that wants him.
Well, and if that happens, then that changes because then I think they can compete for a playoff spot, or at least play meaningful games late in the season.
A couple of injury news. Jets running back LaMichael Perine, high ankle sprain, likely miss a few weeks, according to Gase.
Well, that's good for Frank Gore and getting to 16,000.
This is a scary one. The Bills tight end Tommy Sweeney is going to miss the remainder of the season. He has myocarditis as a result of having had COVID.
Yeah, that's the stuff you don't want to hear about.
All right, we'll hear from Joe Judge when we get back. Also, your phone calls. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on, yes, and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so after the Colombo firing happened, Judge was not available over the weekend, so we finally spoke about it today, and here is Giant Coach Joe Judge on the Colombo firing.
Yeah, I'd just say, listen, on the entire situation, I made this clear from day one. I'm always going to make every decision and what I see is best for the team. This decision was no different. Look, there's been a lot of information out there, a lot of misinformation, and a lot of people have done a lot of digging trying to find out details of the situation. I'm not going to rehash any of that. I just say in the whole thing, we wish Mark luck going forward. And the decision we made was in the best interest of the New York Giants, short and long term.
So he told us nothing.
Nothing.
I'm glad we
got. So they're going to continue to dig. So if you're upset about people digging, then you got to come out and tell exactly what happened. Like I saw Pat Hanlon, who has a Twitter account, and he's been with the Giants forever. You know, yeah. I wouldn't call him their PR person. He's bigger than that. Yeah. And he was like knocking people out or trying to find out what's going on, that they're wrong. He took a shot at Mike Lombardi. Well, then tell us exactly what happened. If you don't tell us exactly what happened, then the guessing's going to continue.
I fundamentally agree with you, but I do think that, do you think that's going to stop people? Like if he told you, listen, there was no fisticuffs at all, we had a disagreement, if he gave you his version of it, wouldn't people continue to dig? You're not going to take what he says as gospel, you're going to continue to dig.
Well, but he's not telling you anything.
Right.
So if we have no idea what happened, people will dig even more. If he gave his version, that and it sounded, you know, somewhat believable, that, you know what, I was bringing in Googs. He didn't like that. He felt it was usurping his power.
Yeah.
He got into a shouting match, and it's always team first for me. Boom, I think he goes to bed. I'm not going to rehash it. Okay, you never hashed it. Rehashing it means that you hashed it before.
Involves
you never
a hash.
Hashed it.
Yeah, you're right. I just think that, you know, you've got good reporters out there that are going to try to dig no matter what the information's going to be. And he wants to move on from it. That's fine. I get it. He's got a huge game to prepare for against Cincinnati. They can't lose this game on Sunday. They can't. You're now, whether you belong or not, you're in the thick of this thing. Philadelphia stinks, all right?
Boy, they bet.
And Dallas now, I think, is probably the front runner to win this division. You know, Washington, the Giants have the tiebreaker, but they're playing well. You know, so you can't lose to a backup quarterback in Cincinnati that's got, what, two wins. You can't do it. You gotta win. So he's got a big game. So I get that. But you're right. And I'm a big Pat Hanlon fan. He's been there since 93. He's always been good to us.
Great guy.
But you can't take the tact of, you know, people are looking for stuff, looking for information. Listen, yeah, of course they are. They're doing their job. And you can just be honest and say what happened. And it's probably not going to stop them from digging. But you're probably right. If you give me a little nugget of something, then the fans have something to chew on. You just can't say, all right, we're moving on. You're too big a team. The
you know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to get a hold of Colombo.
They're not going to let it go.
Somebody's going to get a hold of Colombo.
At some point.
He's going to give his side, and then all of a sudden, the Giants are going to want to give their side.
Right. And well, that's probably happening already, because I believe, and I got no facts, but just being around, I kind of read the tea leaves, that a lot of the information that's come out is probably from Colombo's side. Because he's the one that probably wants to talk and defend himself on what happened. So if you're the Giants, you have to realize whatever information's out there is probably coming from Colombo's side. So why not give the answer? Because right now you're actually playing well. I think the fan base will buy whatever you tell them. I mean, they're the Joe Judge fan right now. So,
but this is...
Just be honest and tell us what's happening.
This is dealing with the other side of Joe Judge. You know, like we've seen so much we like... But there was that one piece early on that we saw in him, that very Belichickian...
Right, you're dealing with the Belichickian side.
That's what this is. Give nothing and that's always going to be enough. And it's not... New York, it's not always going to be enough here. So, like, listen, for the record, the media really let them get away with, we're going to deal with the punishment for Daniel Jones and Saquon in-house. Everyone let that go. Everyone moved on and said, okay, what does that mean? We don't know. They're dealing with it in-house. Okay. Now you have a situation that directly involves the head coach and a personnel change mid-season, which is not common. And there's a salacious story with it. It's not enough to just say, yeah, I'm not rehashing. It's not. It's going to keep coming up. You're right.
But I think it's an organizational thing more than Judge. I mean, I think a lot of organizations do keep things close to the vest. And usually the ones that do that are the well-run organizations, right? Because they don't want to give a lot of information. Because there's probably, even if Joe Judge and the Giants are in the right, there's probably some aspects of it that wouldn't come across as great. Right? So it's probably just, oh, we're not going to say anything. We're going to be done with it. And I think you should know by now that that's not going to stop people from digging. I think they're going to continue to dig because until they get some satisfaction out of it. So why not give your side, be up front, out there, and maybe it discourages a deeper dive into it. I guess you're right.
Let's go to Wilson in Roxbury. What's up, Wilson?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Happy holidays to you. I hope everybody's safe. Hey, listen. I'm a realistic Giants fan. I know we're 3-7, but you know what? The Giants, we don't make the rules. The fact is that we tied for first place, and after the misery that's been the past 5 years, I'll take it any day of the week. Now, having said that, you know, 4 weeks ago, I would have said, you know, it's a definite loss against the Seahawks, and it's a definite loss against the Ravens. But 4 weeks after, I don't think it's a definite loss. I mean, the Ravens do one thing good, which is run the football, and the Giants stop the run. Basically, and the Giants are a top 10 defense. They are a legitimate defense. So I think the Giants could easily go 7-9, 8-8. I mean, they can also lose to the Cincinnati Bengals this Sunday. So,
I
do believe that the Giants can go 7-9 and 8 or 8-8. And I do believe that it's their division to lose.
Well, I mean, if they go 8-8, I'd be shocked, and we thank you for the phone call. I don't see that happening.
Well,
you know, 8-8 would necessitate them going, what, 6-1?
Do not.
No, they're 5-1. I don't see it.
Do not even talk about the division if you lose on Sunday. All right? I mean, if you have dreams like Wilson of making a run here, then you got to beat Cincinnati. All right? So then what do you have? Seattle. All right, Seattle's not playing great recently, but that's a tough one. But Baltimore, why is Baltimore just a fait accompli? They're going to lose that game. Baltimore has had their problems, all right? But you got Cleveland. You've got Dallas at the end of the season. I mean, so, hey, listen, maybe 7? Maybe you could steal one of those games that we thought a couple of weeks ago were automatic losses. I had Baltimore as an automatic loss, didn't you? Aren't you?
It's definitely not automatic anymore. That's
no,
for sure.
No, but
Cincinnati... With Finley at quarterback,
right?
They weren't able to do anything after Burrow left yesterday.
No, you got now. That's going to be tough. Always going to the backup in midstream, and now he's got a week to prepare. But still, that game you got to get. Cleveland, that's interesting to me. You know, maybe Cleveland will be tougher than Baltimore the way things are going right now. I don't know, but continue doing what you're doing. And Wilson's right. It's not their fault the division stinks, and take advantage of it. But I'm going to have a very, very difficult time, Peter, barring catastrophic injury, of defending this team if they lose on Sunday to Cincinnati.
Andrew, can I ask Andrew a question real quick? What happened yesterday? How bad were you guys?
I mean, this is who they are. I don't think they were any worse yesterday than they have been most of the season. Carson Wentz is, I don't know, he's like unrecognizable from the quarterback that he was the first few years of his career. It's not that he was... Like, I feel like some people are now relitigating what he is as a quarterback. It's not like he was bad before and we were just kind of misremembering. He's been good. I don't know what's happened to him this season. It's very strange.
Let's go to Ryan in Brooklyn. Ryan.
What's up, Mike? Don, Peter, love the show. Listen,
thanks,
Michael,
man.
I'm not picking a fight with you. Just want to ask a question. Wouldn't you have killed the Knicks if they signed Gordon Hayward to that contract?
I thought he got too much. You're right. But there are other things they could... I'm glad you asked, Ryan.
It's a fair point.
It's a fair point. I thought that Charlotte overpaid him. But look at what the Hawks did over the weekend. They got Rajon Rondo, 2 years, $15 million. Tell me Rajon Rondo wouldn't make the Knicks better. They got Chris Dunn on a two-year deal. 2 years, Chris Dunn for a two-year deal. They got Danilo Gallinari, I believe, as well. The Hawks did impressive things over the weekend. The Knicks didn't do anything to impress you. And you're right. Hayward had 4 years, 120 is ridiculous.
Those contracts given out was crazy, though. Those contracts given out was different. Like, everybody overpaid to get who they wanted. Everybody.
Right, but that...
And I would have got on the radio today and killed the Knicks for overpaying. So
for who? For Hayward?
Lose-lose for the Knicks.
Wait, for Hayward?
If you would have overpaid for him.
I don't think Van Vliet wasn't an overpay. I thought Van Vliet was going to do it. That's $21 million a year. That's not an overpay for a good player.
We would have gave him the max. Definitely the Knicks would have overpaid him.
But he didn't even come close to getting the max, is what I'm saying, Ryan.
Yeah, but he stayed.
I mean, maybe they didn't make him an offer because they had information that he was going to stay. But I would have liked to have known, did they offer him $24 million a year then?
But Ryan's right. Sometimes we get into this with the Knicks, and we do it a lot with the Mets and the Jets, too, is that you end up killing them no matter what. Right.
Well, that you know what?
They put themselves in that situation. If they had given Hayward $30 million, we'd be killing them. I can't believe he gave him that much money. You know, so sometimes you can't win for losing when you're a Knick guy, right? I mean, just they're kind of set up to fail no matter what because that's kind of been the history. But I do agree, it was a bad weekend. I just don't know how much of it was really their fault.
But it's all their fault. If you're saying that the top flight players, right? That's not their fault. If Michael Jordan wanted to overpay Hayward, okay, you back out. I get it. If Van Vliet didn't want to leave Toronto, I get it. Rondo, Dunn, Gallinari. The Hawks aren't exactly a team that's brimming with winning, but they made moves. They made themselves better. It seems like the Knicks are holding back that money for what? Unless they have inside information that they're going to get Giannis, what are they holding it back for? Or inside information they're going to get Anthony Davis next year, what are you holding back for? Improve the damn team.
I know, but if the price tag, you can't understand the price tag being too high for any of those players?
No. Well, you know what? If Rondo got 2 years 15 from the Hawks, I'd give him 2 years 18. Maybe that would get him 2 years 16. Anything like that, Rondo makes them better. He made the Lakers better in his own quiet way. I don't know if they win a championship without Rondo. That's how good Rondo was.
And that's where they, I'm with Michael, that they really missed out. The options of players who you can grab, who opted out, who can make your team better, and you're not stuck with a ridiculous contract.
And I got to tell you something, Peter. Whenever he tells me, well, I mean, the price are out of control, but that's the price of doing business now. Either you're going to play in that playground or you got to take your toys and go home. If everybody's getting overpaid, you have to decide, who do I want to overpay for? How much better are they? Obi Toppin better be great for them to be that much better. Oh. And the only thing that's infinitely better than they've had over the last 5 years is the coach. I hope he accounts for 15 wins. I doubt it.
But hasn't Rondo been a headache in places he's been? Would he work on a team that would probably still finish under 500?
You know what? The Hawks are taking a chance.
Well, and then we'll see if that works out or not. I mean, sometimes, again, you're judged by your history, so it's easy to just throw them under the bus every time they do something that you don't like. But it is possible that Leon Rose said, you know, I don't want Rondo for that money.
Right. Rondo got 2 years, $15 million, and you want to keep your cap space open after next year. So give him 1 year, $10 million. Let's see if he bites.
And the caller is right. I mean, Van Vliet, I mean, sure, maybe they would have maxed him out, and maybe that would have been a mistake. But you don't know whether that was even on the table because he stayed in Toronto. So maybe it wouldn't have mattered how much they offered.
Let me tell you, if they had, first of all, it would be crazy to max him out, but if they max him out, he's not staying in Toronto.
Right. But
maxing him out would have given him $35 million a year.
It would have been crazy to max him out. If that, maybe that's what it would have taken for them to be able to pry him away from Toronto. So we don't know all of the individual reasons
I'm in agreement with you on those top two guys. So you didn't have a chance at them. You had a chance at other people. You got nothing. You got Austin Rivers and Elfrid Payton. That's the best you could do with $35 million in cap room? Come on. Come on. You got to be better than that. Austin Rivers, you signed him a three-year deal, 1 year is guaranteed. That's the best you could get on the market.
Eerily similar to last year. I mean, maybe slightly better names than last year, but very similar.
Last year, at least, they didn't even get a shot at the big names. No, they wouldn't even get a sniff. And I get it. I get it. They thought they were going to. They got nothing. So their backup plan was, let's keep the cap space open for next year. What'd they do with it?
Right, but the one thing apparently that seems to be clear, they don't seem to be hot on trying to sneak into the playoffs.
Which is a mistake.
Well, but I think that's where the disagreement lies, is that they probably feel slow and steady wins the race. Well, we're not going to be worried about what the Nets are doing. We're the Knicks. We'll win our 20 games or whatever. Our fans will continue to be patient. We don't feel the need to go to the playoffs. And we collectively disagree, because I think that there's value to trying to get relevant and send out a message to everybody that with a brand new coach and a brand new front office that this is a playoff team. Seven going on 8 years of missing the playoffs in the NBA is inexcusable. But that's what they're headed towards. But I guess they're okay with that because they feel that the carrot at the end is going to be worth it.
Steve Gelbs of SNY reporting Sandy Olson has made it official. Luis Rojas will indeed be the Mets manager next year. So they are keeping Rojas. All right, we'll come back. We'll take more phone calls. 1-800-919-3776. The K Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.